though they clearly understand all the teachings Shaka taught throughout his whole life, should behave like simple-minded folk who know not a single letter, or like ignorant monks or nuns whose faith is implicitly simple. Thus, without pedantic airs, no scholars going on here, they should fervently practice the repetition of the name of Amida, and that alone. You can feel the force of these words. You can see how strong they are and also how controversial they are. He's saying to all of these sophisticated and learned people left over from the Heian period, lurking in the monasteries on Mount Hiei that Saicho had founded, doing all of their scholarly practices, that doesn't matter. It doesn't apply to the time we live in. What we need to do is chant the name of Amida Buddha like ignorant people, and we'll be lifted up to salvation in Amida's land. And also, he goes beyond that. He says, you don't just do that, but you just do that. Just that alone. Nothing else. So there's an implicit sectarian impulse here. He's splitting off from the Tendai and creating a tradition based simply on this one practice. It's very strong, very focused, but potentially quite divisive. Now, there was a follower of Honen by the name of Shinran, who lived from 1173 to 1262, who adopted Honen's teaching and pushed it to a radical extreme. I think of him as being one of the most eloquent exponents of the Mahayana Dharma in all of Buddhist history. Like his teacher, Honen, Shinran was banished from Kyoto for disturbing the established religious order. And he expressed his faith in Amida in the following words. This is one of the great statements in Japanese Buddhism. If even a good man can be born in the Pure Land, how much more so a wicked man? People generally think, Shinran said, that if even a wicked man can be reborn in the Pure Land, how much more so a good man? This latter view may at first seem reasonable, but it is not in accord with the purpose of the original vow or with faith in the power of another. The reason for this is that he who, relying on his own power, undertakes to perform meritorious deeds has no intention of relying on the power of another, and is not the object of the original vow of Amida. You can see the logic flowing here. It's a very strong devotional logic. Should he, however, abandon his reliance on his own power and put his trust in the power of another, he can be reborn in the true land of recompense. This is Shinran. Strong words. His sect, the sect that Shinran developed, is known as Jodo Shinshu, or the Pure Land sect, and it became the most important of the Pure Land sects, and today is the most popular form of Buddhism in contemporary Japan. It's also found in a very eloquent and appealing form on the West Coast, in California, and in Hawaii, in an organization known as the Buddhist Churches of America. Now, there's been a strong movement in recent years to make Shinran's works available in English and to bring the Jodo Shinshu tradition into dialogue with contemporary Christian theologians. You can see why, because what we're talking about here is really devotion to a great deity, if we can use that word, certainly of power that is infinitely greater than ourselves. And the issue is not so much to convince this deity to deign in his power to reach down and to save us, but simply to open ourselves up to the mercy of that great deity. The kind of devotional logic that you would see quite often in the tradition of Christian theology and in the tradition of Christian devotion. Often this dialogue, a dialogue that I've participated in from time to time to help interpret each side to the other, often this dialogue focuses on the mechanism of faith and particularly on this concept of the original vow of Amida Buddha.